You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Holding public office at any level of government, really, comes with a lot of responsibilities in the spirit of influencing policy. And although there have been strides, historically, candidates often don't reflect the makeup of the larger community. For many, taking the first steps to throw their hat in the ring can be intimidating, it can be time-consuming, and it can be costly. There isn't really a roadmap for this necessarily for everybody. However, in recent years, several programs have sprung up around Sacramento to help with that issue by providing training and skills with the goal to make future office holders more diverse. And some even have the opportunity to make history. CAP Radio Sacramento government reporter Kristen Lamb has been looking into these efforts and joins us with how these programs got started and the changes they hope to bring about. Hey, Kristen.
Good morning, Vicky.
So how did you learn about these training programs?
I first learned about them from a tip written by a reader of the Sacramento newsletter. Our colleague, Claire Morgan, who writes the newsletter, sent me the tip, and the reader suggested CAP Radio look into the growing number of organizations and clubs that influence the rise of a more diverse pool of candidates or get out the vote. So I looked up programs and asked coworkers for suggestions. Our education reporter, Srishti Prabha, specifically recommended Nueva Epoca, a program we'll get into later.
When it comes to what they want to achieve, what they're looking for in terms of electing office, I mean, is anything too big or too small?
No, they're looking at public offices at all levels of government, local, state, and federal. Directors of the programs told me that it's important to have representation at all levels, from school boards and city councils to state lawmakers to members of Congress. And they're not just looking at elected public office. They're looking at appointed public offices, too, like state executive positions Governor Gavin Newsom selects people for.
And you also, I mean, you did quite a few interviews for your story to get really a front row seat to this. I mean, how would you describe, I guess, the overall energy and the drive of the people you spoke with?
Generally, the people running these programs are very passionate about the work. They seem to really believe in creating leadership pipelines so people from their underrepresented communities are prepared to influence civic policy decisions in the future. And for the participants, a lot of people in these programs are already leaders in their workplaces, but the programs can help people see themselves stepping up into public office, which, like you said, is a really big responsibility. One program participant I spoke with is Marissa Gutierrez-Green. Here she is explaining how a program called Nueva Epoca has changed her perspective.
When people tell me, oh, you just have this thing or you have this great energy, I can see you running for office, I just was kind of like, oh, that's nice and all. And I maybe considered it shortly. But now being in this program and really hearing the data around the Latino population being underrepresented, and yet we're the fastest growing minority group, and that really resonates with me as a leader in general to want to maybe step in and step up to that role and that opportunity for my community to see, you know, somebody of color in a position of power, especially a woman.
And just for some extra context, Asian Americans as well as Latinos are the fastest growing racial and ethnic groups nationally, according to the Brookings Institute, a nonprofit researching public policy.
Yeah, Marissa's talking about like going from a compliment, like something in theory, to actually putting it into practice and hopefully making it a reality. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned the program Nueva Epoca. How and why was this organization founded? What do they want to accomplish?
It got started in 2021 after the COVID pandemic began. In Spanish, it means new era. The co-creator, Adrian Ruiz, told me that Latino communities in the Sacramento region have talked about building a leadership pipeline for decades. And he and others started this program to empower Latinos and prepare them to serve, whether that's in public office or on nonprofit boards. The goal is to make Sacramento leaders more closely reflect the area's Latino population.
And when it comes to the Latino population or Hispanics, according to the census, I mean, it's the largest demographic in the state. And in Sacramento, the population that identifies as Latino is almost like 40%, almost a quarter, 25%. So how does that shake out when it comes to being reflected in politics and in elected officials?
Yeah, people I interviewed weren't able to help me find local data on representation in Sacramento area government, like for our school boards and city councils in the area. But other studies show disparities on a statewide level. A report by the Hispanias Organized for Political Equality found that Latinos hold 4% of county supervisor seats and 9% of city government seats, despite representing 20% of the state's total population. For appointed offices in California's executive branch, a UCLA study found Latinos have the largest representation gap among all racial and ethnic groups.
Okay, so then how is Nueva Época's training already shaping and impacting the political landscape in Sacramento? I mean, were there some notable participants so far?
Ruiz said that the program has helped get more than 70 people appointed to boards and commissions. Noel Mora, who won a seat on the Natomas Unified School Board in 2022, participated the same year. And those who have followed the City of Sacramento's Measure L Children's Fund might have heard of Monica Ruelas-Mares. She participated in Nueva Época last year and was appointed to the Measure L Planning and Oversight Commission recently. Yolo County Board of Education trustee Elizabeth Esquivel was part of the first group of fellows. She says the program showed her technical skills she needed to succeed, in addition to affirming that she belonged on the board. Here she is explaining how program mentors encouraged her.
There's no doubt about it that they said, no, we belong. We belong there. You need to be there. You need to speak up. You come from a single parent household. You come from a low income background. You're first generation. You need to have a voice to represent those students that are not always represented.
And there are other organizations that are really pushing in this effort as well. Another organization that you spoke with was the Stonewall Democrats of Greater Sacramento. This is a chapter of a larger nationwide caucus. How are they guiding hopeful office holders?
Stonewall Dems provides training to LGBTQ plus people who might be interested in serving in public office in the future. It also partners with state and national organizations to connect members with larger training opportunities. For example, it's collaborated on programs with groups like the LGBTQ plus Victory Fund, which works to elect queer and transgender people across the nation.
What's been motivating the Stonewall Democrats in our area to deepen their political bench, especially when it comes to candidates with LGBTQ plus backgrounds?
I spoke with Stonewall Dems President Jonathan Cook about this. He says while there's been progress on LGBTQ plus issues, trans rights are especially at risk. He says the club wants to see LGBTQ people involved at any place where decisions are made, from school boards to the state legislature. Here's Cook explaining the importance of meaningful representation.
Especially at this moment where trans rights and trans issues are under attack in so many places, even here in California, where, you know, there was a bill introduced in the assembly earlier this year to force educators and school districts to out trans and non-binary students to their parents or guardians if they want to use their given name or they want to use different pronouns than what would be assumed are their pronouns. And so really there's, you know, a big effort to take that not only from the bill that failed in the assembly, but there's been an effort to take that school district by school district.
And you've discussed some of those school district debates here on Insight. Local school districts that have discussed a gender notification or forced outing policy include ones in Rockland, Roseville, Elk Grove, and El Dorado Hills.
One of the participants that you spoke with within the Stonewall Democrats is Evan Minton, and he's running for state assembly and could make history as the first out transgender lawmaker. Evan's also joined us on Insight before, not so much about politics, but rather his activism and his personal journey. What motivated Evan to run for office?
He told me that he wants to bring his experience as a transgender man, as well as a legislative staffer and policy advocate, to the State Assembly District 6 seat. Minton says he wants transgender communities to have a seat at the table and have a representative who knows what it's like, someone who has lived experience and can advocate for trans communities. Here's how he explains the issue of having a seat at the table.
But it's always been my experience that if you're not there at the table, then you're always going to be on the menu. Whether you're the first thing on the menu or the last thing, if you're not there representing your community, you're always going to be on the menu. And the trans community is under attack, even in a state as progressive as California. The fight has come here.
I want to move to another group that you spoke with, and this is the New Leaders Council Sacramento. Tell us a little bit more about them.
It's another one of those national programs with local chapters. It focuses on connecting and training the next generation of progressive leaders. They've been active in Sacramento for 12 years and have trained more than 200 fellows. The co-director, Michael Lemus, told me that the program is an investment in the area's young leaders. Some people who have gone through the program include Chinua Rhodes, a member of the Sacramento City Unified School Board. He's also the director of community engagement for Sacramento Mayor Daryl Steinberg. A couple other people listed as alumni are Sacramento City Council member Katie Maples, chief of staff Ryan Brown, as well as Evan Minton, whom we were just talking about.
You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Cap Radio Sacramento government reporter Kristen Lamb about a number of programs here in Sacramento that are training individuals from underrepresented communities for future positions in public office. Okay, so give us a front row seat if you join one of these organizations. What do these training sessions and the workshops, what do they look like?
They can include listening to speeches, doing role plays, filling out worksheets, and having like group conversations. At a Nueva Epoca training I went to, the training for the day looked like and worked like a class. A professor lectured on negotiation, took questions, fellows filled out a survey, and the survey told them what their communication style is.
All right, so there's resources, there's trainings, you know, all in the spirit of potentially holding public office. Are there other benefits that participants gain?
Definitely. The programs also provide a support network for our participants. They aim to help them build relationships with their peers who might share similar identities, values, or experiences. Fellows and program runners told me about how they lean on their peers and connections even after the training ends. Michael Lemus, the NLC co-director, says he considers group synergy when going over applications too. Here's how he puts it.
We're looking at individuals, but we're also thinking about the makeup of the class. And again, we want folks that go through the experience to be able to, one, bond over the progressive cause, but two, be able to learn from each other. Because ultimately what we want is folks that are going to make an impact on their city. And again, through a progressive lens. And the more people that you get to know, of course, that can help you out with that, the better. So that's the whole point of the cohort system, too.
Yeah. Are these programs just aimed at younger generations, for example, like Gen Z, or are they available for just for people of all ages across the board?
For the New Leaders Council, a lot of fellows are millennials or Gen Zers right now, but the program tends to focus on people who are mid-career level and doesn't limit it to people who are younger than Gen X. One of the Nueva Epoca fellows I talked to mentioned how she's a bit older than most of the participants. We actually heard from her earlier on. But she said they're all learning from and supporting each other wherever they are on their leadership journeys, whether they're, you know, a parent with adult kids or a parent with like a 2-year-old sort of thing.
You know, having these organizations is great. That's one thing. But how did you learn, like even anecdotally when talking to participants, how did they even know that these organizations existed and get connected with them?
Yeah, like sometimes they told me like, oh, their boss told them about an opportunity, or I think someone was involved like in the local Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and like through there, like a her mentor on that, like, recommended, oh, hey, you know, there's this program. I think he would be a great fit sort of thing. Or, you know, like Stonewall Dems, I believe they share some of the training opportunities on Facebook and that sort of thing as well.
Hmm. Is there a cost to participate in these programs? Do you know?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, overall, I mean, you got to really canvas, you know, three different organizations. And they're all, you know, they have the same intention, but you know, they're curating, you know, who they want to be participants, so they're a little bit different as well. Overall, what was your, like, your big takeaway, you know, after talking to all of these people?
Yeah, I think these programs really do try to make our democracy better reflect the region's diversity, so our political systems are more inclusive. That whole seat of the table aspect. Personally, I also think it's really interesting to pull back the curtain on how these programs aim to build pipelines and benches. Because, I mean, I don't know about you, Vicky, but you see sometimes just people talk about we need to build a leadership pipeline. And, it's like, OK, but how does that actually happen?
And what does that look like?
Well, it turns out there's a lot of training involved. And earlier when you mentioned are these programs free? I know that Nueva Epoca, they specifically get some funding from the McClatchy Foundation and that sort of thing. So I'm sure that must help on the financial side of things. I think that also as journalists too, I think that there are a lot of parallels in terms of trying to build leaders and more diverse leaders. Yeah. I think, in any industry, even if you're not someone who's looking to run for public office, you might find that some of this resonates with you, because it did for me. You can read more about the programs and the digital story at capradio.org. And if you listen to the radio feature at the top, you can hear what one of the Nueva Epoca trainings sounded like. And spoiler alert, there was some laughter involved.
What? Training can be fun? That's a shocker. Kristen, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Kristen Lamb is Cap Radio's Sacramento government reporter. Still ahead, she is a Sacramento fourth grader by school day and a music sensation outside the classroom. We are going to meet Boss Tootie and learn how she embraces her roots and how her love for performance all began. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.